Heavenly Father, in every age you call certain persons to defend the human family from oppression, from tyranny and evil. Since our founding as a nation, which was, as we say, conceived in liberty, countless men and women have stepped forward to defend this country and many others from aggressors and to liberate those held captive. O Lord, today we thank you for all of our veterans, those who with us enjoy the blessing of living in the land of the free and the home of the brave, and especially those who still suffer from the wounds of war. O God, thank you for the selfless sacrifice of these veterans and of their families. Help us to remember them, to pray for them, and to care for them. We ask that you please heal our wounded veterans through the power of your Holy Spirit, and give to all of our veterans the satisfaction of having served you, even as they have served us. We pray all of this in God's most holy name, and all of God's children, veterans and civilians alike, said, Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you for your service, gentlemen. At this time, we get to hear for the first time this year the bells of praise. We are so excited to have them here today. Let us listen now to the music of the spheres.
music, the Spirit has opened our hearts to God's presence here. Let us stand as we are able and joyously call ourselves to worship with the psalmist's words. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You have been our home throughout all the ages. You were there before the world was made and will be forever. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We have come to sing our praises and thanksgivings to you. We have come to worship our God. Let us join in hymn number 262, God of the Ages, Whose Almighty Hand. Whatever good we may have done is nothing compared to the righteousness of Christ. Whatever wrong we may have done is nothing compared to the grace of God. With faith in Christ's righteousness and confidence in God's grace, let us confess who and whose we are. Loving God, you have shown us the ways of justice and nurtured us in love. Even so, we have not lived according to your will. When we are oppressed or unjustly accused, we cling to fear and forget to trust in your deliverance. When we are giddy with power and abuse the rights of others, we hold tight to our privilege and forget our laws. Have mercy on us, Lord, for we are weak and prone to disobedience. Hear our confession and respond to us with kindness, that we might turn to you again, walk in the light, and live in equity and peace. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Children of the light, because we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ, we need not fear. For he lived for us, he died for us, he was raised for us, and prays for us. Believe in the promise of your baptism. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. May the peace of Christ be with you and also with you. Please share this peace with all you meet, beginning with the people around you. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and in love, so we might always live for your glory. In Christ we pray. Amen. Just a minute. The letter today is 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. Okay, the children's moment. We have some children, and I've already talked to them. Olivia's going to help me with the sermon. Come on up, guys.
Thank you.
What an amazing choice of anthems, given all that's going on in the world these days. We began our travels through chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel last week, and we're going to pick up where we left off with Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. It's another parable, another story that Jesus is teaching in the last week of his life. So listen now for Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came back and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." So, throughout my 12 years as a Girl Scout, I enjoyed hiking and camping, singing funny songs together, and even sang the Girl Scout promise. I also liked earning merit badges. You know, the little embroidered circles of cloth that are, well, were sewn onto a sash and worn for ceremonies. Each one meant that you'd learned about a topic and then used that knowledge in a practical way that benefited the community. They were a reward for efforts well done. In a way, it feels like 2 of the 3 servants act as if they are trying to earn merit badges in this story. The master gives them each a pretty big challenge, and the first servant is given 5 talents to take care of. that's not a big deal until you remember that one talent is worth about 15 years worth of servants' wages. That's about 105 times his usual annual pay. And he doubles the money. That's pretty amazing. Likewise, the servant who was given two talents doubled the master's investment. Both men worked faithfully for their leader. And anyone who has played penny ante or poker or bingo or even the stock market knows it's mighty hard to double your investment. No surprise that both men's efforts were acknowledged by their master. Both were put in charge of a great deal, many more things, and invited to share in the master's joy. That's quite a merit badge. But what about the third servant? I have to believe this guy thought he was serving his master faithfully, but given the outcome, could he have just been too nervous to take the risk that goes along with trying to double the money? He said he was afraid. You know, I didn't gamble much when I lived in Vegas. A few hands of video poker when out-of-town guests were visiting and I was showing them the sights. But real gambling? I knew better. The house always wins, and I did not have enough money to lose. I was afraid to take the risk of doubling down and trying to increase my money twofold. Financial planners would call me risk averse. Even if I'd had the money, I'm not the kind of person they'd take much time encouraging to invest in something like a venture capital opportunity. Yeah, there's the possibility to double the investment, but when you realize that 4 out of 5 ventures fail, But Jesus? His whole way of life was a high-risk venture. And he shares this risk story during the riskiest week of his life. Now, while the third servant didn't really lose his master's money by not taking on at least a little bit of risk, nothing came of the trust his master had placed in him. Nothing. And that troubled the master. To put that idea into perspective, imagine a parent's disappointment when a bright young daughter chooses to do nothing after high school except sit on the couch and watch TikTok all day. Point this out not to blame or shame anyone for her behavior. Instead, I wonder if the young woman was fearful and overwhelmed by all the choices her future held. I don't believe the third servant was a truly bad man, but for some reason, he saw his master as a harsh man, someone to fear. So in his fear, he acted prudently, or so he thought. Fear of what might happen usually underlies the sense of being overwhelmed. And being overwhelmed usually underlies inaction. There are so many possibilities young people face when they graduate, and so many pressures to fulfill adults' expectation, fearing that they will make a wrong move can freeze them in place, or worse. And this may well have been what the third servant feels in Jesus' parable. It will certainly be something the disciples will face when Jesus is executed. How will they move forward in the life Jesus has called them to? Like the three servants, He is entrusting his disciples with the teachings and life ways that he is promoting and living, each according to his ability. Yet soon, very soon, Peter will deny knowing Jesus three times. He'll feel that the risk to his own life is just too high. And to think that Jesus actually put him in charge of many things. In addition, none of the 12 boldly proclaimed their leader's resurrection right away. Like Peter, they were not willing to risk their lives for Jesus. At least, not yet. These men don't seem to be good and trustworthy servants who can be called upon and called into the joy of their master. So, what kind of master did the slaves in today's story serve? If you listen to the third man, he was a harsh scoundrel, reaping what he did not sow. But when looking at the full parable, we see a man who generously entrusted his wealth to these three men. In fact, he left each of them between 15 and 100 years worth of wages with which to produce returns. And when the first two fulfilled his hopes, they were put in charge of even more of the master's wealth. Plus, he recognized their efforts and invited them into a relationship beyond that of master and servant. They were asked to share in his joy, to join with him in ways unpredicted, in beautiful ways, in a deeper relationship. That third slave, though, what was he really afraid of? Jesus does not answer this for his listeners. So why the servant was risk averse, we never really will know. Yet, in not managing the wealth proactively, he exasperated and angered his master. It's obvious that the master expected his slaves to do something with his investment in them. And in return for fearing his master, the third slave was rewarded with something to be feared, being put out of his home where he would suffer in the darkness. Sort of sounds like the fate of the five bridesmaids that we read about last week. They were put out into the darkness. Seems harsh to me. Yet, gotta think. German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer believed the sin of respectable people was running from responsibility. And when angered, most bosses are quite capable of severing ties or otherwise punishing employees who don't do their jobs, who are not responsible. And Bonhoeffer could speak credibly about this. You see, he gave up his life following through on what he held was his responsibility. He was part of a group that sought to assassinate Hitler. He was caught and put to death just a few days before the end of the war. And Jesus. This being at the end of Jesus' life, this chapter is extremely important in Matthew's gospel. Jesus has come to teach in Jerusalem, right? For him, it's the most dangerous place in all of Palestine. The lessons he's now teaching are particularly important to him. He knows they'll fly in the face of the priests and the Pharisees. He knows they'll challenge the authority of these religious leaders. But he wants people to know there's a different way to live, a more faithful, a more responsible, a better way, a way that pleases God far more than simply following those 643 human-made laws that we talked about last week. Now, this is not to say that following God's law is not important. It is. It is vitally important. But this story seems to indicate Jesus doesn't want us to reconstruct or limit God's laws so we can avoid the risks of living as Jesus commands. He's inviting us to move away from our fears and risk our lives on His, on our Master's behalf. In fact, our Presbyterian Constitution declares this: the church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. Even at the risk of losing its life. We are to go boldly into the world claiming Jesus' name and inviting all around us to serve him with us. Now, that is risky business given the tensions in today's world. What is it that our parents used to say that we were never to discuss at dinner parties? Politics and religion? In the face of risk, some congregations simply throw up their hands in frustration, toss in the towel, and donate whatever leftover funds they have to some community organization. Then instead of gathering for worship on Sunday mornings, they stay home on the couch and watch the services stream on TV. Kind of like that overwhelmed teenager we talked about a little while ago. It's so easy to allow the world to overwhelm us. So we shy away from the big things of life that seem risky. We are overwhelmed. Yeah, Jesus lived a high-risk life. He fearlessly answered God's call on his life. And for doing so, he was rewarded with death on a cross. That is overwhelming. Today's parable encourages us to step away from fear and take risks as we seek to follow Jesus' teachings and ways. That is being responsible. Still I struggle with the idea that comes up in this passage, that the only way that we will be acceptable to our master is by doubling the value of the investment the master's made in us. If we try and fail to double the money, are we guilty of not being responsible, of perhaps burying the investment in the ground? Are we supposed to be earning merit badges? Must we be like Jesus and lose our lives in order to enter the Master's joy? These are questions I don't know that we can answer right now, right here. They're hard. They leave us fearful, thinking God is tallying up our futures and our failures. So what is it the PCUSA Constitution says? The church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone. Entrusting. Throughout his life, Jesus trusted God. He sought to inspire his followers to greater heights, to prepare themselves to stand as God's representatives in the face of the horrors of the world. And while we can never, ever earn our way into God's love, this parable pushes us to serve God, the great master, in faithful, responsible ways, and to be willing, to risk it all for God if need be. Preparing ourselves means letting go of, relinquishing our fear, and consistently working to benefit the community by doubling God's investment in us. It also means that we are to trust God. Trust that God will stand with us, encourage us as Jesus did, and always hope to recognize our efforts so that the Master can welcome us into the joy of sharing an ever-deepening relationship with us. I pray today that we may all hear God's voice say, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant." And may God's grace fall upon us. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me in affirming our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed as found in the laminated pew card. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good morning. This is the time of the year when each of us had the opportunity to pledge our financial support to our church for the coming year. Our support in the form of a pledge to the operating budget of Trinity Church is vital to plan and carry out the church's work. Whether we gather for worship inside our building or online, we continue to be the body of Christ through our ministries, our witness, and our care for one another. Through your gifts, we sustain, grow, and pursue excellence in worship, Christian education, and missions of our church. Because of your generous and faithful gifts, our church can keep doing what love requires of us by nurturing life-giving, joyful ministries, both inside and outside of the church walls. Nearly all of our members in Trinity make an annual financial pledge. Some members tithe to the work of Trinity, others give as they are able. What is most important is that we support Trinity in the form of a financial pledge. We ask that you prayerfully consider how you might contribute. Please join others in our congregation, make it a final pledge by or on Stewardship Sunday, which is November 19th of this year. And as Paul wrote in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
Come into a time of prayer. O gracious and trustworthy God, over the years you have continued to shower us with all things good. You created this world, its creatures and plants, and called it all good. We saw their beauty, yet we still turned from you to follow our own paths. Prophets called us back to your side, but we ignored them. So you sent your Son to redeem us, and in his resurrection, you promised us life eternal. For this we are forever grateful. Thanks be to you for such love. In sure and certain hope now, we pray for your world, that we may live into your coming reign of justice and peace. Hear us as we lift to you the concerns of our hearts this day. We pray for the church, wherever it thrives and wherever it struggles. We especially pray for the churches at Pioneer and Beverly and Caldwell, and we pray for the Reed Urban Church too. Help them all find their way to serve you where you have planted them. We are grateful you have allowed us to live in a land where elections are handled in a decent and orderly manner. We pray for those who lead us. Grant them wisdom and a commitment to justice for all they serve. We pray for the peoples of this world who are at war, or who are in grave danger of falling into wars. We especially pray for the innocent people, especially those who are hospitalized, as they seek to find ways to move into safer places to live. We pray for this planet. In our rush to live in riches, we have harmed its soil and sky and waters. Help us to find ways to restore them to their natural health and beauty so that our children's children's children may enjoy their benefits. We pray for those who live without fresh water in their homes. We pray for this for the people of the arid regions of the world, as well as for those whose water has been cut off because they cannot pay their utility bills. We pray for those who are frail or whose bodies or minds are stricken with disease. We pray for Dave and Gretchen and Donna and Pat and Sally and Donald Nolan and Kathy, the Keys, Herb, Dora, and Merle, and all those who remain in our hearts this day. Give them comfort and courage as they face the days ahead. We pray all of this in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, our Lord and Master, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Stars begin to fall.